This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hailing from Staten Island, New York, our next guest is a member of the Tenderloins comedy troupe who are the stars of the wildly popular show Impractical Jokers. He's established himself as a novelist and children's book author. He was recently in KC for the annual Big Slick Celebrity Weekend to raise money for Children's Mercy Hospital. And tomorrow night we'll see the debut of the new season of Impractical Jokers on their new permanent home on TBS. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, James Murr Murray.
What are you doing, brother? How are you?
Good morning. How's everyone there?
That's good. Good, man. Look, congratulations on TBS. That's great. That's killer.
Thanks. We're moving on up, man. It's awesome.
Man, what a fun ride it is. And again, especially when it keeps climbing, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. You know, get a chance for an even bigger audience, more people to discover you. And you would think after this many seasons, you know, I mean, you're talking 11 seasons that everybody's seen it, and it feels like that, but man, there's a big world out there. It's getting ready to expand even more exponentially.
I know people always ask us, they're like, you know, Murr, how do you guys still do the show? You've been on for 14 years now. And the reason, I've said this before, but the reason is we don't look famous. I look like a pharmacist, you know? people look at me and they're like, oh, I got to go pick up my prescription, you know? That's how I look.
So. Hey, you look familiar. Do you owe me money? Yeah, it's one of those.
They're like, are taxes due? I look like your accountant, man.
But there is nothing in the world like it, though, when it really hits, because I watched it happen for the guys on Full Throttle Saloon on a smaller level. You know, they only got 5 seasons. And so when we were working on that show with them, you know, I watched Jesse James Dupree, who sold a couple million records. You know, he toured some big shows, and he's a rock star. But TV fame is different than anything I've ever seen before. It's 8 to 80, genre, nonspecific. It doesn't matter. It's anybody who watches television. So there's a change. When it hit for you guys and it started to come on, it must have been just almost debilitating how over the top it is.
It does help us that for 14 years now, we've played for 29 hours a day on True TV,
yeah,
19 days a week. So,
yeah, for real, man.
Yeah.
Was it weird for you, though, like when you realize, oh, man, because it really does transcend everything. We think rock stars are the biggest thing in the world, but it's very specific to a kind of music and a kind of radio and a kind of video and what you're into. Television crosses all boundaries.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I would still wish to become a rock star any day.
It's fun.
I can't hit a single note, so I have no shot.
And, of course, we've got the mutual friends and the guys in Steel Panther.
Oh, yeah. They're great guys, man. They for the 200th episode of the show, they put me inside their drum at a live concert, and they did not hold back.
Dude, and no, you talk about some maniacs. Like, I remember seeing those guys at the Key Club. I flew in, I mean, this is, you know, 15 years ago for a birthday, and it was before their first record came out, and I saw them for the first time, and I'd heard the legend, I'd read about them online, I'd seen some videos, but seeing them live, you were just like, what in the hell am I watching? This is the best musicians with the best shtick I've ever seen between sets.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have a very good view of the concert as I was inside the drum. So I'll trust your opinion on it.
Dude, you, well, you know, this, and you guys are getting into some serious weird stuff now. Let's talk about this new season. We're talking about the stuck in the drive-thru.
Yeah, oh, man, dude, it is one of the most nerve-wracking punishments of all time. We go back to where it all started, White Castle in the Bronx, right? The same White Castle we filmed at in the pilot episode. We go there, and I'm in a white convertible. They dress me all in white, and I had to pull up behind people at the drive-thru while they're waiting to order their food, but the guys controlled the horn in the convertible, so they kept beeping the horn at people, and I almost got my you-know-what whooped.
Yeah.
Like, multiple people got out of the car to confront me, like, who's this
D-bag.
Oh, that's doing this. You
yeah,
know?
Well, that's why I kept wanting to call it Struck in the drive through. I was like, yeah. I was like, man, they got to have security somewhere able to jump in and say, hey, because, you know, some people don't even have a fuse at all. They just jump out and start swinging.
Yeah, I think the punishment ends with me leaving my car. I jumped out of the convertible and ran into the streets of the Bronx just for my life. So.
The other one we were talking about was there's one that we're going to see where the adventure was, the mission of to kick somebody out of a Raising Cane's, but they had to pick the person that you had to go kick out.
Yeah, so we had no idea what was going to happen in the restaurant, right? All we know is that when it happens, we, as the manager, had to kick the person out in front of horrified customers. So for Sal's turn, we had a guy get down on one knee and propose to his girlfriend, and he's got to kick them out because Raising Cane's not going to have it. For Q's turn, there's a small kid, like 7 years old, that was lost and went up to all the customers saying he couldn't find his mother. Could they help? And Q had to kick the child from Brooklyn. And for me, one of our crew members wore a pregnancy belly and went into labor, and they made me drag her out of Raising Cane's. And it was iconic and hysterical. And there are videos that went viral on social media because people thought it was real. And, you know,
that's the best.
It wasn't.
That's the best, though, man. I mean, that's, you know, if you can still make it happen. And I think the key is with that is it's who was explaining to me? I was talking to it was Jack Black years ago. And it always stuck with me because he said comedy is like drugs. He goes, a little bit gets you off at the beginning. But after a while, it takes so much to make you laugh, to make you really get involved with it and take over. And that's where you guys are at. It gets to that place where you're dragging a pregnant lady out of a Raising Cane's restaurant.
It is. One day the series will end when one of us just freaking dies during a punishment. You know? Yes. That's the level we're at.
Yeah, but isn't it funny, though, man, that you can still dig deep and find that place where afterwards you're like, I can't even believe this happened to us.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm on my way to set right now. We're filming a secret punishment for Sal. I don't want to give too much away, but just know that I did shave all my body hair this morning in preparation for the punishment. I have a little cameo to surprise Sal. I'll let your imaginations fill the void.
Oh, that's such an awkward look. Because as a guy who's done it with a girl, she was like, oh, I'll do it if you do it. And then you do it, and you take a look at yourself in the mirror, and you go, God damn.
Yeah, it's not very flattering. Usually what I do, you know, I'm a Sicilian, right? My parents are Sicilian. So what I usually do is just lay down on the lawn and the landscaper just mows right over me.
Well, man, I can't wait to see this on TBS, too, man. I'm excited for you guys. And, man, it'll just be great. I'm sure you guys will get back to Kansas City soon enough. And then if you'll make it to Big Slick maybe next year, you guys, it was such a huge year for us this year, man.
Yeah, it was wild. We had a blast. You know, Joe Gatto and I were there, and we did some stand-up at the end of the show. And just those guys, the whole team are amazing. Children's Mercy Hospital is amazing. The kids were amazing. It's emotional and impactful. And it literally is the best thing we do. So we love coming to Kansas City. You'll definitely see us back.
Dude, you know, it raised ultimately, I think, over $4 million this year.
I know. It's wild. Wild. When that number popped up on the screen at the, T-Mobile? Is that it?
Yep.
When the number popped up on the screen, I my mouth dropped open. I couldn't believe it. Man. Mostly because I was near Travis Kelce.
Dude, it shows the repeat guys like you guys who come back. It really does show the heart in all of you guys. It's wonderful to be near a celebrity, and that's what you can do if you go to the Big Slick and you participate in this, you guys. And it's really cool to see everybody from all these different levels of fame and entertainment up on a stage. But really what strikes me is that I see the people that come back year after year that try to come back and be a part of it. And I go, man, that's out of heart. You know, you're not getting anything from this. You're not receiving anything. It doesn't even get national attention. It's just something you guys do for this city that is so beautiful and so genuine and so honest that I do thank you for that, man. And I mean,
I tell you what, man, like, you know, we talk about like Impractical Jokers and how long it's been on TV, that when we go to the hospital to visit all the kids, this year we did the burn unit, Joe and I, and man, oh man, seeing the impact the show has had on them, and it makes them smile in the worst of times in their life.
Yep.
It is overwhelming and fills me with so much joy and is really the motivation to keep going as long as possible, you know?
No, that's it, man. That's there was a phrase, a man who was so important to me. He said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And it rings true every day.
I think, you know, Ben Parker said it best from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. That's essentially what you're saying.
It was Abraham Lincoln that said, anything's a dildo if you're brave enough.
I'm going to think about that quote all day long. I'm going to try to work it into the TV show. Thank you for that little tidbit.
The great Murray James. Thank you, brother. Always good to have you, man. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.